the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, and they try, but they shan't. So forget it. And anyway, nice to be with you this evening. This morning now, it is a Wednesday morning, which means the trash goes out, bud.
Yeah.
And I don't care if the recycling is the recycling.
Well, probably about a couple of maybe two fruit cans.
Two fruit cans? What are you talking about?
For fruit cocktail.
Well, I don't eat that stuff. Is that you guys?
Yeah.
Well, take all that canned crap and stick it in that thing. You know, we got into trouble. You know that. You know that we got into trouble, right?
Yeah, I know. That's they made a mistake.
No, they didn't make any mistake, man. What they're doing is they're going in and they're checking the recycling. If they find any garbage in there, they fine you.
Where?
What do you mean, where?
Said they fine you.
They F-I-N-E, where? They fine you money.
I don't know about that.
Well, I'm telling you, man. So if you take that recycling can and you throw crap in there, that's what's going to happen.
Well, that seems pretty weird, man, going through, I'm sure.
Yeah, hey, let me look through the garbage can, man, and see if I can find a man, all that.
Well, that's what they're doing. That's what they pay those guys to do, okay? And so they're supposed to do that, and that's what they're going to do. I'm not going to make fun of the guy. So what I'm telling you clowns to do, rather than mock these garbage guys, is to make sure that you're not sticking any garbage in that recycling can. You're not supposed to do it. That's where that's at. I don't want to argue about it. Thank you, and good night.
Yes, sir.
That's what I like to hear. All right, anyway, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL, and we're also online at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. You can watch production of this show every night. You can watch us as we perform the show. You can watch us in our angst, in our glory, in our joy, and in the sadness, and you know, the glory of victory, and the, whatever the hell they call it.
Agony of defeat.
It's all here at philhendryshow.com. Check it out. Also, a list of affiliates across the country if you want to listen on the radio wherever you are. Also, you can sign up for the podcast. That's right. Get the Phil Hendry Show podcast each and every day. Our classic podcast, so much more. Our news feed and the Bobby Dooley blog and the Ted Bell blog. So you can see what those two maniacs are up to. Join us there. And let's see, what else did I want to mention? Oh, we're on Twitter at twitter.com/RealPhilHendry, twitter.com/RealPhilHendry, and at Facebook. Although Facebook is we're phasing it out, man. You know.
Yeah, you know, I know that Facebook, not a lot of people are using Facebook no more.
Yeah.
Because they say that Facebook is for dummies.
Well, that's a pretty cruel, what do you mean Facebook is for dummies?
That's what they're saying.
Yeah, they say most of the cooler people is at Twitter.
Well, I think that's a little cruel to say that Facebook is for dummies. Facebook is a different experience, you know. Facebook is, I don't know.
About your face.
Yeah, it's about your face.
Well, what do you mean it's about your face?
In other words, what your face looks like is what's there.
Yeah.
You know something? You guys are really, when you start talking about stuff, there's days I understand you, and other days you're like you're some Stone Age tribe. What do you mean your face is there?
I mean, when you do Facebook,
you're making them nervous, man.
All right, bud. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to scare you.
I mean, when you do Facebook,
calm down, okay? Get out of the room, will you?
God, man.
Sorry.
So bad.
You made him nervous.
I know I made him nervous. In any event, I think it's a very juvenile appraisal of Facebook, but we'll see. You know, it's like a business, like any other business. People are going to gravitate to what people gravitate to, you know.
Well, it does seem to me like everybody liked Twitter.
Well, I got news for you. I got big news for you. Facebook is still making more money than Twitter. That's probably because Facebook has found many different ways to make money. You know, they advertise, and it's highly commercial over at Facebook, which makes the experience for a lot of people less than optimum, whereas at Twitter, it's not. They have those, what do they call them, top tweets?
Yeah, well, man, they got top tweets. People got to pay for that.
I know that, but it's not some garish, I don't know. I mean, it's just not a really garish-looking advertisement. Although you know it's not a top tweet because the person paid so that you would call it a top tweet. So I don't really understand that. All right. The news, as it has evolved over the last few days, has been about London. Yes, it's been about the United States. and the economic travails. Most of the things that are happening here in the United States, we're used to. We've got the high unemployment. We get that. We've got the low earnings. We get that. So the only thing that's changed is the level of fear and anxiety in the country here in the United States, and that is as a result of two things, and maybe even three. One is the degrading of or the downsizing or the whatever the hell they call it, devaluing of American credit. Excuse me, the word is escaping me right now, but we're no longer triple A, we're double A plus, okay, which many people have noted is very reminiscent of 1984, George Orwell. You know, in the book, George Orwell used the terms like double plus good. There was a whole new future of words. In the future, you couldn't say that's wonderful. You'd have to say double plus good. They wanted to make the words as they wanted to make the words as economical and basically dumb them down. So he had that double plus good thing. All right, so that's why double A plus sort of sounded Orwellian. Then the second thing that happened was the stock market going down 500 points and then 600 points opening on Monday. And then I think the third thing that happened and continues to happen, even though it's in another country, it's in a sort of brother nation culturally, language, and that is Great Britain, are these riots that are happening not only in London now, but they've spread to Manchester, Liverpool, Birmingham, and perhaps one or two other places. And that's got a lot of people uneasy. Now, the history of domestic violence in Great Britain is significant as it is in this country. It's not unheard of. It happens, and it's happened in America. The history of domestic violence in Great Britain and its causes are probably similar but different as well, because there's a first of all, in the United States, we deal with riots slightly, I think probably in a lot more of a heavy-handed manner, and I don't think that that's wrong. Now, there's a lot of reasons in America for why we've had riots. Many of them have been very good. And I'm not saying that violence is, quote, right, but I can't walk up to somebody that's pissed off and say you have no right to be pissed off. You can't do that. You cannot say to someone they have no right to how they're feeling. That's how they feel. I'm pissed. You have no right to be pissed. Boom. You know, you want to see a fight? Guy can have the wrong opinion. Guy can say, you know that the Declaration of Independence was signed in 1876. Well, you're wrong. Well, then the guy goes, well, that's, how dare you disrespect my feelings? I'm not disrespecting your feelings. I'm disrespecting your information. Your information is wrong. The Declaration of Independence was not signed then. Well, that hurts me. All right, well, I won't doubt that it hurts you. I won't even argue about the fact that it hurts you, but your information's wrong. Now you say you're pissed. I will not doubt that you're pissed. But I have my reasons for being. I am not doubting that you have reasons. But I will say this, I have a right to disagree with those reasons, but I can't disagree with the fact you're pissed. You're pissed. Depending upon what form that being pissed off takes, we're either talking or we're not. Now, in the case here in the United States of the civil rights movement among African Americans, the violence that occurred in the 60s, and then you can talk about the draft riots that everybody's heard so much about in the 1860s, in New York, and then you can talk about the racial violence, which is basically white racial violence in the late 19th century and early 20th century against black neighborhoods. We've had a lot of different, and a lot of it has been racial. A lot of it has had to do with law that some people thought was wrong, like the draft laws in the 1860s. But in every single solitary instance, in every single solitary instance, there's only one way to deal with a riot and a rioting individual, and that's to go in with a billy stick and bust his head open. Now, that's it. You don't sit down and discuss it. You don't sit down and put on the white gloves. Oh, I'm so sorry you're feeling bad today. What can we... Yes, there are reasons that people feel the way they feel, but I have the right as a citizen, and this is what I say. I live in the greatest country in the world. There isn't anything that that rioter has to say to me that's going to make this country better. He hasn't got a thing to say to me. Now, he may be angry about some things. I want to know about that. But if he's burning down a building, or if he's attacking somebody in their car, or any of those other things, then he's got to go down. That's all there is to it. If he keeps it up, then he goes down. And that's how you deal with, all due respect to the British police. I don't know what their tactical plans were, but apparently they had a hands-off situation for 48 hours. That's all that did was get more buildings burned. One man got shot and killed. Another man was beaten so badly, people were robbing him right in full view of cameras. And where were the cops? It reminded me of Reginald Denny. It wasn't as bad as Reginald Denny, but it was. This guy was bleeding and wounded and hurt, and there were people ripping this guy off. They were mugging this guy while he's laying on the ground. And, you know, it was very reminiscent of seeing Denny laying there getting a brick in the side of the head. You know. So there's only one way to stop that, and you go in with billy sticks or water cannons or guns or whatever you want, and you stop it. You don't ask them to stop. You know, you don't say, please stop. No, you go in with cops and shields, just like those cops did today with the shields, the sticks, the whole nine yards, tear gas if they have to, and you start busting heads, throw them into the paddy wagon, bust a head, throw them into the paddy wagon, bust a head, and as the doctor said, repeat as necessary, right? Boom, 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 until all of these jackasses have got the message, you go out in the streets on a curfew, and you're going to get your head split open. Period. Those guys are busting into stores. They burned out that woman. Did you hear that lady? The lady, she says, I'm ashamed to be a Hackney woman. She was screaming at these guys. Guy gets shot in Tottenham, and you guys are already up in this part of town ripping off stores. You burn down a woman's business? You burn out a woman's business, right? And these dumbasses are out there in the street. Now, when the British cops finally went to work, these stupid bastards that were rioting, I don't know where they got the idea they were going to take them on. I saw a couple of them get a billy stick right across the head and another guy get dropped on his ass. And you know, the party's over. Now, I don't know what's going on with the rest of England tonight. Somebody said to me that Manchester didn't have its act together and some of their cops are on vacation. I don't know what the story is there. But you saw what London did. They put 16,000 cops on the street. And, you know, no fuss, no muss, baby. You clean that one up right quick. Not only that, when the cops don't act, that's when the vigilantes come out. And you had that in London. There were people, citizens, armed citizens saying, well, I don't see any cops. I'm going to go around and I'll start taking care of business. And the same thing's probably going to happen in Manchester. So the British, I don't know what they're, like I said, what the hell they're thinking. Get some cops out on that street. And for every person you see breaking a curfew, they got a chance to turn around and walk home, or they take a freaking stick across the face. Nothing in between. That's how you get done with that. And then you can sit down and chit-chat very nicely about the social situation, blah, 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 blah. Because Great Britain and the United States, the two preeminent democracies of the world, where the hell is it going to get better? If it sucks in our countries, I got news for you, it's worse everywhere else. So if these are the two countries where the rage is being expressed, you're threatening the only two nations, really, well, not the only two, but you're threatening two of the most prominent countries in the world that can actually make your dreams come true, or at least listen to your problems and solve them, and not just throw you in a gulag someplace. But it ain't going to happen with people running around doing what they were doing. So good for the British cops finally getting a handle on this thing, man, but it's, you know, next time, now you know what to do. Some guy says to me on Twitter, the British are too polite. I said, they bring it. Like, you remember that SAS, the air service that they got?
That's an airline.
It's not an airline. Maybe it was, Scandinavia. But SAS is the secret air service of the British police, British military. They did that Iranian hostage situation with their embassy. They know what they're doing, man. But sometimes they, like I said, as cops, just dealing with the citizenry, they have some other plan. All right, we're going to come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The latest on the D.B. Cooper investigation, plus what the hell happened to musician Gavin DeGraw. Check us out also on the web at philhendryshow.com, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here, and welcome back. Radio for Patriots, by Patriots. Now, we have a story we're going to get to first off here. By the way, we were rolling the video of that lady in Hackney, I guess is a, I don't know the neighborhoods of London, but she was a woman of, I would say, middle age, and she was just, I mean, busting down on any of these rioters that she saw, basically saying to them, you know, you burned out a woman's business, what do you think you guys are doing, you're not proving anything. So this video has gone viral, and we were showing it during the commercial breaks and so on and so forth. It's actually, I can turn the, Hackney is a borough of North London. And, you know, that was interesting because I saw the little map. And I'm just rolling a little bit of this for people at home. But I saw a map and it showed the fires that have been breaking out all over London. And a lot of them were down near the river and Thames River. And then some were, yeah, they looked like they were all mostly up north. It was sometime around 4 a.m. on Monday that Gavin DeGraw was walking through New York's East Village when some kind of an argument broke out between him and a group of men he didn't know, according to a police source. Now, I want to get up the music clip that we've got for Gavin DeGraw. Okay. The words escalated to violence, and soon the I Don't Want to Be singer was under attack by what New York newspapers are describing as a gang of thugs. The dazed and badly injured DeGraw then somehow ended up about a mile away, only to be clipped by a taxi. Someone called 911 or 911, and DeGraw was rushed by ambulance to Bellevue Hospital's emergency room, where he was treated for a broken nose, concussion, and facial lacerations. He's now in stable condition and under observation. More than a day later, a number of questions remain about the attack, including the identity of the assailants, a motive for the violence, what DeGraw was doing on the streets early in the morning, and how he was able to get so far before the taxi incident. His representatives have only released two brief statements, one of them ending with, "We have no additional details at the time." Here is the music of Gavin DeGraw. What happened, man? This wave card program, as I've said many times, sucks. All right, let me. I was using wave card, and we don't have that anymore. So anyway, this kid's walking down the street. He gets into an argument with a group of guys. They beat the crap out of him. He somehow is able to make it about a mile away, and he gets hit by a taxi. His reps have said, "We have no additional details at this time." According to police sources, DeGraw's recollections are clouded by his head injuries and the possibility he was intoxicated at the time. Possibility? Well, see, there's nothing unusual about a guy walking through the East Village at 2 o'clock in the morning if you're coming home from a bar, if you're a neighborhood person, whatever. You know, if you live in the area, this is not that weird. I don't know where the guy's from, but if he lives in New York, it's entirely possible. So, according to police, DeGraw's recollections are clouded by his head injuries and the possibility he was intoxicated at the time. Police are hoping to find witnesses and security camera footage that will give them more information. Now, he does live in New York. What is known is that DeGraw, who has a new album coming out next month and who's been touring with Train and Maroon 5, though his role in the tour was canceled today, was apparently out alone at the time of the assault on the corner of 6th Street and 1st Avenue. Why he was there at that hour remains under investigation, but DeGraw is a New York City resident, and the attack site was close to a club he co-owns with his brother called the National Underground, where he was spotted Sunday night. Gee, I guess that's why he was out in that neighborhood. I live in New York, I own a club, and clubs close late, and I'm walking home. Just because my name is, you know, DeGraw and I'm famous don't mean I can't be out walking around in the street at night. DeGraw told police that he encountered at least three individuals. Various news reports say they were all men. A police source tells People magazine the assailants were unknown to the victim and that DeGraw can't clearly recall what they argued about. Oh, well, we'll be back right after this break. Sorry.
Taking so much time.
All right, well, we'll We'll get into the rest of this when we come back on the mysterious attack here of Gavin DeGraw. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Follow where I'm going. There's
nowhere where I'm coming from. All right, back to the Gavin DeGraw story. On the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Gotta figure it out what the guy done.
Take it easy, okay? Take it
easy. Find out, man, he got beat up.
He did get beat up. We know he got beat up.
Yeah, but did Maroon 5 beat him up?
What do you mean, did Maroon 5 beat him up? I know he was singing for Maroon 5. That's what they said, but...
You know, ask that guy, the male Jan Bavan?
What?
Say it again in English.
I'll say...
All right, easy. What did you say?
Ask that guy, James Valentine.
I'm not going to bother James Valentine. He's a guy that, we follow each other on Twitter. I know that sounds... Nonetheless, is he
he's the guitar player of Maroon 5. If anybody know, he would. Yeah, talk to him before it's too late.
Oh, will you stop?
What do you think went on, man?
I'm telling you, there's something weird about it. Something really weird.
Ain't nothing weird to me. Nothing weird to me at all.
You don't think it's weird that the guy gets beat up?
No. Guys are getting beat up all the time in New York. Let me tell you what happened. I'm going to tell you what happened. You know, just because your name is Gavin DeGraw or Bobby Mercer or Babe Ruth, it doesn't matter. You can be out walking around just like anybody else, and your ass is up for grabs, man. Everybody's ass is up for grabs in this world. Now, it's 4 a.m. on Monday. We already know the guy owns a club with his brother, and the club was open on Sunday night. And he was at the club. It's called the National Underground. He was spotted there Sunday night, figures that he'd be... coming home sometime 4 a.m., especially if you're the owner of a club, when business is over at 2 a.m., there is a certain amount of business to attend to after, or even if it's just, you know, polishing off a bottle that you opened up, maybe with your brother, maybe with somebody else. Wouldn't be surprising at all if the guy's hammered.
Yeah, okay, so what about Maroon 5 beating him up?
Who said Maroon 5 beat him up, man?
Well, he said it's the five guys. That's how many's in Maroon 5.
You know, you guys are going to just really start to hack me off here in a second. Would you shut up and listen? Yeah, that's right. Maroon 5. Maybe they didn't like the way he sang.
Probably had him on an album and hit it and waited to waylay him, man, in the middle of the night somewhere.
That's it. Yeah, they mugged him and beat his ass because his singing sucked on one of their albums and they wanted to make it look like he was mugged. So anyway, the guy's in the club. The guy leaves the club. Is he drunk? Probably. I would be. I mean, if I had an interest in a nightclub, but I wasn't there every night, but I was there just often enough to kind of oversee things, I'd probably be in there having a couple of pops, too, and I bet you that's what he was doing. Now he walks out of the club. Now, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. It's in New York's East Village. It's, you know, a pretty safe city, New York, at night, believe it or not. It really is. It depends on, you know, who you are and what you are and what you're doing, but... it's not the way it was so many years ago that the way many of us remember it when it used to be Fear City. Now you can pretty much walk many, many blocks in the middle of the night. I've done it. And what do you see? You see people that are out and about. Sometimes you see people jogging. Sometimes you see people opening up restaurants or closing restaurants or taking out the trash. And sometimes you see a cop and sometimes you see a cab. And sometimes you don't see anything, man. Because I heard a guy say, I think it was somebody was on TV the other night. They said, New York, the city that doesn't sleep, that's such horse dung. It's really true. New York sleeps. New York sleeps. You can be in Manhattan at a certain hour of the morning, and man, there is nobody on the street. Nobody. So this guy's walking down the street. He's drunk, and up come four guys. Are they fans? Maybe. Hey, we recognized you and da-da-da-da-da. Now, they're four young guys just like he is. There's a lot of testosterone going on and probably a lot of liquor. Maybe they aren't fans. Maybe they're just guys that want to rough him up. More likely, they recognized him, or they were in the club and saw him, or they wanted to ask him a question. Maybe he had encountered these guys before. But they converse, and then it turns ugly. Somebody says something. Someone tells somebody to, you know what, and that's that. Guy gets his ass kicked and finds himself about a mile away, probably running for his life. Now, they say he had a busted nose, he had lacerations, and a concussion. You can take off running even with a concussion. I say he's a mile away because he took off running from these guys. And finally was found put in a hospital. Now, you guys want to believe there's something nefarious going on.
Yeah, I think probably is. It might be Maroon 5.
You know, some, if you say Maroon 5 one more time, man.
Well, who else would it be?
Just a bunch of guys. They just beat him up.
Why? What is the motivation? What's the motive?
Because they don't like the way that he's good looking and cute and all that crap, and their girlfriends were looking at him. How about that? How about the fact that, like a lot of guys, they resent celebrity and they wanted to beat him up? They found this guy all by himself in the street, and this is their chance to kick the crap out of a celebrity. Maybe they just, maybe it was this guy, DeGraw. Maybe he started it. It's possible. Maybe he's one of these guys that thinks his stuff doesn't smell. He's walking down the street. Why don't you guys stick it up your, you know what? Don't bother me, you know? Yeah, really? Maybe they gave him some crap and he made the big mistake of giving it back. 1 against 4, not smart. But I guess you know what you're doing, huh, pal? Maybe that happened. But these, you know, look, the first thing you want to do is, what do cops say? Do you rule out the...
You always got to rule out the relative.
Rule out the relatives?
Maybe his mom did it.
You shut up, his mom did it. Not rule out the relatives. What the cops are always saying is start from the inside out. Start from the inside out. Work your way out. What's the most obvious? And then work your way gradually to the edges of the story, the edges of the crime, you know, out into the outermost edges where things begin to get a little fuzzy. But you start where things are very clear and focused. Well, what's clear and focused? The guy got into a fight walking home with a bunch of drunks.
Well, has that ever happened to you?
Has whatever happened to me?
You ever got fight in a drunk with a drunk?
I've never been set upon. I don't, you know, I think there's certain things you do. If you're walking by yourself, you damn sure don't mouth off. Unless, of course, you got something to prove. If you're walking around by yourself, and you may be in a hostile neighborhood, maybe not. Maybe they're hostile faces. I mean, if you're trying to make your way home, you try to stay as invisible as you can. Unless, of course, you want to get into it. Now, I don't know what's wrong with some guys. They just look for trouble. They wind up getting their head busted open. And that somehow proves something to somebody. Sure as hell didn't prove anything to anybody other than, you know, you got your head busted open again. Some people looking for it, okay.
Yeah, but I mean, you told me one time you got your ass kicked.
I've gotten my ass kicked, yeah. But it wasn't that I was looking for it to happen. Gee, I think I'll go downtown and see if 5 guys will get pissed at me and beat my ass. There's a Saturday night. So that's what I think happened. Now, I know I don't know anything. His family says here, Gavin's family, they appreciate everyone's concern at this time. We've no information yet regarding his upcoming concert dates and promotion for his new album. By Tuesday morning, his reps issued an updated statement. Gavin McGraw is currently recovering in stable condition at Bellevue Hospital, where he was taken by ambulance after he was attacked by a group of assailants. He suffers from a concussion, broken nose, black eyes, cuts and bruises. Police are conducting an investigation of the attack. After the assault, he was seen at 19th Street and 1st Avenue. He was at 6th Street, so that's, you know, 13 blocks. Police sources say a 911 caller reported a man with a bloody shirt who appeared to be heavily intoxicated. He encountered at least 3 individuals. Various news reports say they were all men. Police sources, People magazine, the sales were unknown to the victim. So it wasn't Maroon 5.
Oh.
So you can just kind of crap can that one. All right, here's the next story that is even cooler than, Gavin DeGraw getting his ass beat. I'm kidding. I hope you're fine, man, and I hope they find. I'd like to find out who did it to you. I mean, I doubt that they will ever find out who it was, because if it was just a street fight, you know, and it's going to be your word against theirs too, Ace. You know that they're going to say something like, you know, you started the fight, and well, yeah, but it's 3 guys beating up on 1 guy. Well, no, it wasn't. It was just him against this other guy. We just stood there and watched. You know. So you think about that. So when they finally, if they bring anybody in for questioning, I got money that says this DeGraw says, you know what, I don't remember a thing, and I don't, you know, I just don't want, I bet you, you know, if Jace was saying he it doesn't add up, that's why it doesn't add up, Jace, because DeGraw doesn't want the cops to know what happened, because maybe he provoked it.
We're going to have Iron Swine investigated pretty soon.
You're going to do what?
We're going to have Iron Swine investigated.
You're going to have Iron Swine investigated. Okay, good for you. All right.
Right now.
No, not right now. We're not having Iron Swine investigate anything right now. Thank you very much. I just want to get with this one story, please. This is the story, and this is the why I wanted to get to this story. This is the one of D.B. Cooper and the stories that we were telling you, I guess it was last week, when we were getting into this D.B. Cooper situation. The girl that came forward and said, oh, will you come on, man?
Iron Swine. Today, Iron Swine, what happened to Gavin DeGraw?
This is the Iron Swine Radio Network. It's the morning of August 8th in the 2011. Iron Swine working on it in the police station.
Hello, Iron Swine. Yeah? What happened?
The guy kicked my ass. I'm Gavin DeGraw. I was at Maroon 5.
No kidding. I like your music and everything. I'll go and investigate. Are you okay or do you need an ambulance?
Yeah, I got to get an ambulance. Or wait a minute, here's one. I'll flag one down.
Yeah, flag down an ambulance.
Iron Swine then goes down to see.
What have you guys done that? Huh?
I don't know. I might be.
What band are you with?
Maroon 5.
You don't know the rest.
They didn't do that. Iron Swine finally arrested the guys in Maroon 5, even though they didn't done it.
Iron Swine!
And that's Iron Swine.
Well, that's not very satisfying.
Why?
Why? Iron Swine arrested Maroon 5 even though they didn't done it.
Well, I mean, you got to have an outcome and everything.
Yeah, you got to have a happy ending.
That's a happy ending? You bust guys that didn't do it?
Well, at least we got Maroon 5 in jail. That's the punchline.
Thank you very much. Maroon 5's a terrific band.
Yes, sure.
They're a terrific band.
Yeah, right.
They're a great band. All right, enough with the clarinet playing there, bud. You're very good. DNA analysis has failed to establish a link between the skyjacker dubbed D.B. Cooper and a new suspect in the decades-old case, but the results do not rule out that he may have been the culprit. The FBI's disclosure came days after an Oklahoma woman came forward to say she believes her late uncle, Lynn Doyle Cooper, was the mysterious man who hijacked a Pacific Northwest flight in 1971 and then vanished. And as you know, ladies and gentlemen, we came on our airwaves last week to tell you that this woman is full of it, that she is trying to capitalize on certain similarities between her uncle's name and the name of D.B. Cooper, that is the name Cooper, that she is concocting and fabricating a tale of having heard something behind a barn about, you know, we're set for life, but you got to go into the forest and help us find the money. Okay. The Phil Henry Show rejects that as poppycock, balderdash, and falderall. And furthermore, we do not believe that this woman's book, which we understand is being written, should be purchased because we think she's full of it.
Iron Swine.
All right. Anyway, the FBI's disclosure came days after an Oklahoma woman came forward with a bunch of horse dung about how her father, her uncle, whatever. You heard this woman's story. I was out behind the barn, and I heard them say, you know, boys, we're set for the rest of our lives, but you've got to... Isn't it interesting that you now come forward with this story? Isn't it interesting that you've been an adult for lo these many years? Isn't it interesting that all of a sudden, I ain't buying it, honey. I'm not buying it. And you know what? If I'm not buying it, the FBI's not buying it either. The only thing the FBI cares about is the possibility of some DNA. If there's DNA that connects whatever they got with this guy, then maybe. But your story about what you heard. Anyway, the FBI's disclosure came days after this Oklahoma woman came forward and said all this stuff. The FBI declined to say if the suspect whose DNA was checked against that of the hijacker was Lynn Doyle Cooper, but the circumstances appear to match. This woman came forward, by the way, to say that it was she who contacted the FBI. It was she who said it was her uncle, Lynn Doyle Cooper, and the FBI didn't. Now, I don't know, but the FBI's had no comment. I can't imagine the FBI said anything to her like, yeah, sure, you go right ahead and tell everybody that you want. Doesn't sound to me like she even gave a crap what the FBI thought. She probably just went out there and said, well, you know, I'm going to make hay while the sun shines, baby. I got this book coming out. I'm going to let everybody know who it is. It's me. You know, whether the FBI likes it or not, that's another conversation we can have. The FBI has a necktie the hijacker is believed to have worn, and DNA taken from a family member of the latest suspect did not match the DNA on the tie. He's not been ruled out. What does that mean? He's not been ruled out, Fred Gutt said. The FBI has a necktie the hijacker is believed to have worn, and DNA taken from a family member of the latest suspect did not match the DNA on the tie, said FBI Special Agent Fred Gutt, a spokesman for the Bureau's Seattle office, but he's not been ruled out. That's because there are strands of DNA from three different people on the necktie, which could have been bought at a secondhand store. Oh, boy, that's really fascinating. We don't even know if any of the strands of DNA belong to the hijacker. A man who in 1971, under the name Dan Cooper, bought a plane ticket. Well, you know the story. He jumped out of the airplane. $200,000 later, boom, ba, boom, ba, boom, bim, ba, bim, ba, bim. Now comes a woman by the name of Marla Wynn Cooper. She's 48. She lives in Oklahoma City. She said last week that she recalls her uncle, Lynn Doyle Cooper, arriving bloody and bruised to a family gathering soon after the hijacking. She also said the conversation she overheard at the time between him and another family member suggested they'd plotted the hijacking. Marla Wynn Cooper said she believes her uncle died in 1999. She could not be immediately reached for comment on the FBI's latest DNA analysis. There you go. We'll be back on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. I'm sure there'll be more D.B. Cooper news. Was Michelle Bachmann fairly portrayed on the cover of Newsweek? Well, check us out, by the way, at philhendryshow.com. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry show coming right back.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Are not fans of Michelle Bachmann, such as me, find the photograph to be glaringly, intentionally degrading. And Newsweek magazine, I don't know anybody that reads that rag. I don't know anybody that reads Time magazine. Newsweek, by the way, has one half the circulation of Time. Time has 3.5 million a week. Who reads that garbage? Well, that's why Newsweek's got to do something to try to get a little juice heading their way, and they come up with a photograph of Michelle Bachmann, which was obviously taken when she was tired, when she was forcing a smile, when maybe she felt overwhelmed. It's not a flattering picture. And under it says the Queen of Rage. Now, Tina Brown is the magazine's editor-in-chief. Tina Brown's a very good publisher, magazine person, writer, editor. She was in charge of Vanity Fair for a while, and it was a terrific publication when Tina Brown was running things. And she's known as someone that can get the job done. She's known as somebody that can bring back these periodicals from the brink of demise. I don't know if she's going to be able to do it for Newsweek. And she brings that sensibility with her that is uniquely British. And, you know, I say that with all due respect, but it's kind of tabloidy. You know, it's the funny thing about America. Americans don't know their ass from a hole in the ground about politics. And yet, we read a lot of serious newspapers. And by that, I mean websites. In Britain, it's the other way around. They don't have anything in the way of serious journalism. It's all garbage. But the people over there are very educated politically. When you're 16 years old, you know what political party you want to join eventually. Now, Michelle Bachmann's photograph appeared on the cover of Newsweek magazine. She was asked, and this was a very, very unflattering picture. It's a wide-eyed photo. And a wild-eyed photo, too, headlined The Queen of Rage. And she said, well, we'll have to take a look at that one. Here is, I think this is Lois Romano addressing the piece.
It's a very provocative photo. She's a very provocative candidate. She is stirring a lot of intense passions among the electorate and a lot of intense passions among her own party. And I think the cover reflects that.
So that woman is said something to get her out of, you know, obviously having to explain that she doesn't like her, and that's why she put an unflattering photo of her, or chose an unflattering photo of her, because I happen to know, I'm not guessing, I'm telling you, I happen to know that they picked these photographs for their editorial flavor as well. So that's the truth, and I'm sorry, Lois, that you couldn't tell it, but I did. And I don't really care. Michelle Bachmann's husband is gay, and but she's, you know, that was not a nice picture. We'll be back tomorrow night.
Phil Hendry.
Gay!